The title of today's sermon is The Things of God. And I'd like to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me begin by asking you a question. Do we seek to be like God as much as it is possible while we're in the flesh? Do we seek to be like God in every thought, in every action that we perform? And the answer is, yes, we should. We should be seeking to be like God. How well do we understand what God is really like? When we understand that God's Spirit reveals even the deep things of God, it behooves us to learn what those things are and make them an integral part of our lives. I've titled this message, The Things of God. And I'll be emphasizing this word, things. It's used an awful lot of time in the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us through His Spirit. This is the Feast of Pentecost, picturing God's Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Let's go over to Daniel chapter 2. God reveals the deep and secret things by way of His Holy Spirit. We read in Daniel chapter 2, verses 21 to 23, God gives wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. Verse 22, He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. Verse 23, I thank Thee and praise Thee, O You, God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desired of You. Let's turn over to James chapter 1. Since God gives wisdom to the wise, how do you and I go about obtaining wisdom? James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that God gives to all men liberally and does not reproach us for asking, and it shall be given unto him. Now, brethren, that's the power of God's Spirit at work. We can ask God for wisdom, but it's not a matter of just saying, give me wisdom, give me wisdom, give me wisdom. There are things that go along with our requests, like living the life that Jesus Christ lived. In today's sermon, we will scrutinize a number of godly traits, characteristics, and attributes of God, like wisdom and love, so that we can know how to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Feast of Pentecost pictures God's Holy Spirit being bestowed on the called out saints. God's goal for mankind is that we become His eternal children, God beings possessing His complete image in form and spirit and godly character and substance. God wants us to be like Him. That's God's goal for mankind. Pentecost pictures how that has become possible. Acts chapter 1. The Feast of Pentecost pictures God's Spirit coming upon His church people, not the world, and enabling those brethren to become the children of God, able to walk according to God's way, and become immortal and incorruptible spirit beings, and first fruit brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Jesus had told them in Acts 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Jesus was telling them, look, expect the Holy Spirit. They knew when to assemble. They knew what these things mean. Again, we know what God's going to do because it's reflected in His holy days. Continuing in verse 8, Jesus says, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria even, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Turn over a page to chapter 2, Acts chapter 2. We read about today, Acts 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. As we saw, they were expecting the Spirit of God. They were looking forward to it. But they did not realize that for the first time in their lives, they would be able to look back and see how incredibly foolish and sinful they had been without the revelations that God's Spirit would bring. What would it be like? Acts 2 and verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, like a tornado, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Acts 2 and verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, but it wasn't fire, but it looked somewhat like fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Brethren, for the first time in history, God was giving to an assembly of believing people every single one of His godly traits and attributes. God was bestowing on these people His characteristics, what God has, what God is like, His traits and attributes. For the first time, they realized their vital need for God's Holy Spirit. More than ever before, God was giving those brethren the spiritual things that would change them entirely to become the kind of people, the kind of beings that He is, that God is, having His divine nature. Those spiritual things were intended to grow and grow without limit until each person comes into the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, until a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. Each saint would come to realize that the measure of the gift of God's Spirit was determined only by their ability to utilize it reliably and consistently. On that day of Pentecost, unto every one of them was given spiritual gifts. That's what took place on that first Pentecost. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll look at an example there. I use the word measure, that we receive the Holy Spirit without measure. Jesus had it without measure, God's Holy Spirit, from birth. We grow into it. We're not given the full measure of God's Holy Spirit on the day that we're baptized, but we're not supposed to stay like the day that we first came into the church. We read in Ephesians 4 and verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. It's meted out by God. He knows how much of His Spirit we will utilize, how much of His Spirit we will make profitable unto Him. So, brethren, we find that these gifts are like a seed that needs to grow, to develop, to mature, and be implemented in our lives. Too many people, past brethren, have had their spiritual lives wither away and decline because they did not exercise and develop their spiritual gifts. On the day they were baptized and received God's Holy Spirit, they thought they had arrived. They thought they had it made. But what happens when you take it for granted and do not use God's Spirit? They withered on the vine. 1 Corinthians 2. Let's talk about the things of God. What are the things of God? They're His topics, His gifts, His qualities, His grace, His attributes. So here we are in 1 Corinthians 2 talking about things. Paul will use the word over a dozen times in the next few verses. That's why I've named today's sermon the things of God. This is talking about God. So when we see the word things, don't just brush it off as some little thing. I'll emphasize the word things because it's too easy to read right over it. We've seen these verses 1,000 times, but this time, let's ask ourselves the question, what are the things of God? And more importantly, how do the things of God describe me and the kind of person I'm becoming? Okay, we're going to talk about God, who He is, what He is, all of His characteristics. But brethren, you and I are to be putting on every one of the attributes of God in our lives. That's the purpose of God's Holy Spirit, to change us into God beings. It says we're created in the image of God. We're not there yet. We've got a good way to go. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world. They come to nothing. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained from before the world unto our glory. Verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew about. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But Paul here is quoting from the Old Testament. We'll take a look at that. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. What is it, brethren? What's Paul describing? What haven't we seen? What haven't we heard? What's never entered our mind and our heart? He says, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. He's talking about godly things, the things that God has prepared. And Paul is alluding back to Isaiah 64 in verse 4 that says very nearly the same thing. Isaiah 64 and verse 4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, besides you, what he has prepared for them that wait for him. Let's continue on in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We've come to verse 10. I quoted this earlier, but let's quote it in context. We're talking about the things of God, every trait and mannerism of God. God has unveiled them and revealed these things unto us. God's revealed these things, these godly things to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yea, the deep things of God. So God's Holy Spirit searches out the things of God, the attributes of God, to teach us, to make them available, to help us along, to motivate us, to become like God, the deep things of God. This verse says, for the Spirit fathoms all things. Yes, even the depth of God. I took that from another translation. The Amplified Bible has, the Spirit searches all things diligently, even sounding and measuring the profound depth of God, the divine counsels and things far beyond human understanding. Romans chapter 11, brethren. Paul did a lot of sailing. We see him taking trips all over the Mediterranean. He was also a tent maker and a sail maker as well. He used nautical terms in his writings. Sounding, that's a nautical term. It's a maritime term, meaning the action of measuring and determining the depth characteristics and the property of the seafloor below the ship by use of a sounding line thrown from the bow of a ship. A seaman would stand on the bow. He would twirl this string with a lead weight on it, throw it way out in front of the ship, let it sink to the bottom, and he'd be able to say, 6 fathoms. And you know he had enough depth, enough water to go a little bit further towards the shore. So that word sounding means measuring. It's describing how God's Holy Spirit searches, fathoms out all of the depth of godly things. Paul wrote in Romans 11 and verse 33, same concept, brethren. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. That's what we're talking about today, these immeasurable traits of God. Oh, the depth and riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. Yes, we need God's Holy Spirit just to get started and his ways past finding out. But we do start to find out with God's Holy Spirit. How unfathomable, using those seamen's terms, and untraceable are his ways. You don't leave a track when you cross the ocean. There's no prints to follow. So we speak of God's Holy Spirit being comprised of the summation of his divine attribute. But brethren, consider this. Every attribute of God, be it his mercy, his righteousness, or his forgiveness, is as boundless as the far reaches of outer space. God's traits have no end. They extend forever. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 103 and verse 12. As far as the east is from the west. You're pointing in opposite directions, speaking about the things of God. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. Job 2. Let's be turning over to Job, brethren. Job searched for the things of God. He wanted to know about God. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to appreciate the things of God. Job 11 and verse 7, he said, "Canst thou by searching find out God?" The answer is no. No, you can't find God by looking for him. "Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection?" No. Brethren, we come far short of God's perfection. Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? Well, of course not. There are no limits to the Almighty. Verse 8, Job 11 and verse 8. "It is as high as the heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than death's grave, hell. What can you know?" He's wondering, can you know anything about God? The answer is yes, brethren. They are revealed to us by God's Holy Spirit. Job 12 and verse 22. "He discovers deep things out of darkness and brings out to light the shadow of death." God's Spirit searches out everything and shows us His deep qualities and His deep secrets. 1 Corinthians 2, where you have your marker, brethren, we've come to verse 11. "For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" Yeah, we all know about manly things, what to eat, where to sit, where to sleep. We know things about a man. "Even so, things of God," that's what we're talking about in today's sermon, "even so, the things of God knows no man except for the Spirit of God." The Spirit of God reveals the things of God. By His Spirit, God opens up our understanding to the things of God. I don't want to overdo this about things, but it's in the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." He's talking about the fact that we've converted. God's Holy Spirit has been given unto us. "We've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." Fantastic, tremendous, overwhelming, unbelievable. "That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So we can know, brethren, you're in God's church, you're baptized, you've received God's Holy Spirit. "We might know the things that are freely given to us of God." But we don't know them by rote. That goes back to the natural man. Yeah, we know when we're hungry and when we're tired, even when we're cold and when we're hot. But we don't know the things of God. Those must be freely given to us by God and revealed by His Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which God's Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." That's what we start doing. We look at the spiritual things of God, and we'll name a bunch of them. We won't be able to go into a whole bunch of them, but we'll name them and look at them and say, okay, I received this token, a gift of God. Maybe you speak in languages, but you have to learn. You have to learn syntax and definition, pronunciation, and grow and grow and grow to become proficient in a language. Verse 14, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God." Look at what Paul says in the middle of verse 14. "For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." That's the only way you can know about the things of God. They must be spiritually discerned. Don't expect the world to understand why we do things, how we do things, how we know things. It's foolishness unto them, and it makes them think that we're foolish. It's a part of the price we pay right now, why we counted the cost for being Christians. Verse 15, "But he that is spiritual judges." Now, that word judges is not a good translation right here. I'll give you a bunch of translations that are better than judges. A better translation would be appraises, evaluates, discerns, scrutinizes, examines, interrogates, questions. "For he that is spiritual evaluates and applies what God's Holy Spirit reveals about all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man." That means there's no way that we're able to appraise or scrutinize God. But we don't measure God. He's far too high above us. We'll have some scriptures that say, Our ways are not God's ways. God's ways are not our ways. So we don't scrutinize God to measure him. We look at his gifts to emulate them. We want to be like God. So we interrogate, we question, and we apply what God's Holy Spirit reveals about all these things about God. The deep things of God are given different names in the Scripture. Sometimes they're called the testimony of God. Sometimes they're talked about as the secret things of God, the hidden wisdom of God. The knowledge of God is spiritual knowledge. It's divine knowledge. The wisdom of God is spiritual wisdom. God's Spirit opens our mind. God's Spirit reveals to our mind all the things of God when we walk in His ways. God reveals Himself to us in His Word, the Bible. We're not receiving private interpretations these days. Psalm 111:10. The reverence, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding. That's what we want, brethren. We want a good understanding of the traits of God. A good understanding have they that keep His commandment. His praise endures forever. 1 Corinthians 2, we've come to verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord? None of us. We don't know what God is thinking. We don't know what God is preparing. We don't know what God is working on a million times around the earth. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Answers no one. But here's the good news, brethren. We have the mind of Christ once we've received God's Holy Spirit. Let's go over to Romans 8. We see the workings of God's Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 26. We're just breaking into the thought here. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us where we're weak. For we don't know what we should pray about, as we ought to be praying. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What is that about, brethren? It's saying that God, through His Holy Spirit, knows what we should be asking for, perceives what the need is, knows our every need, our every desire. God, through His Spirit, is able to discern who and what we are. That's easy for God. So we don't know what to pray for. We pray for a lot of things. We don't exactly know how to go about it, but we do our best. And then God's Spirit takes what we say, what we mean, what is it within the will of God, and applies it in a spiritual way. God knows the right thing to do when He hears us praying. Even when we cannot put things into words, God knows. Romans 8 and verse 27. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God's Spirit in us brings us into alignment with the will of God. God's leading us. He's guiding us. We need that help. We need that strength. We need that motivation. Verse 28, and we know that all things, Paul's still talking about things, those godly things, we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Brethren, understand this. God's plan is being worked out, even in us. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's just speak for a moment of only one of the things of God. Because there are, I started to say hundreds, I have no idea. You can't put a number on the attributes of God. God is limitless. We can't begin to do that. But what I want to do is I want to start off with just one of the things of God so we can look at a few scriptures and see how it does not remain the way it is when God first presents it to us. Let's just speak of one of the things of God, His love. To see the increasing facets of this single quality of God that is supposed to be growing and growing in us if we're to become like Him. Brethren, we'll talk about the love of God. It's not enough for us to say, God has given us of His love. Think back, if you're able to think back to the day you were baptized, for some of you, brethren, be many, many years ago, how much love of the brethren did you have? How much love for God and His truth did you have? How much love for the Word of God did you have? That was almost natural. I love the Bible. I love to read the Bible. Well, through the years, we come to love the Bible more and more as we see how incredibly precise the Word of God is in every way. God has given us of His love. We need to learn precisely what godly love is. We need to incorporate it into our lives and then greatly develop the gift of love originally given to us until it mirrors the love of Christ. I don't think any of us would say, the love that I possess is equal to the love that Christ has. Jesus Christ loves His Father. Jesus Christ loves the world. Our love comes nowhere near the love of Christ. The love of Christ is a perfect love. Ours is a fledgling love. But brethren, God's love is only one of His many, many attributes. God's Holy Spirit enables us to obtain a portion of every feature, every characteristic of His personality and His character. We are to then increase in spirit, as Paul admonishes the Macedonians. We see that in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, you do not need that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. I like that. God teaches us how to love one another. Verse 10, and indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. There's the concept in the Scripture that I'm trying to get across, brethren. Yes, we receive some love at the very beginning, but we are to increase our love more and more in godly love toward one another. We can actually enter into a warm and intimate family relationship with God when we love the brethren. But we have to love the brethren in a godly way. We are to learn to love one another to the point that we are more than willing to lay our lives down for others in the exact same way that Jesus Christ did for us. Can we come to the point where in the secrecy of our prayer, where only God hears, we say, God, take my life and give it to someone else who's perishing that they might live. I've seen your beauty. I've seen your glory. I've seen your kingdom. I understand your plan. Let this other person grow in grace and knowledge. Take of my life and give it to them. I lay my life down and mean it. Are we willing to lay our lives down? God doesn't take us up on that. We have to be living sacrifices and do it over and over. And so we're left to bringing them chicken broth, sending them cards, praying for them, calling them on the phone, emailing them. You know, there's ways to serve them. But brethren, then and only then do we begin to approach agape, godly love. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so now, brethren, we've only touched on one of the multitude of God's qualities that we are to attain to if we're to become like God is. It's important to find and recognize all the traits, all the characteristics and qualities that God's Holy Spirit has revealed about Him. If we're told that God is merciful, how merciful are we? How compassionate are we? Yeah, we're sad when we see a little animal get killed. God's compassion far exceeds our compassion. We have to grow more and more in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we're flesh and blood, we look like Adam, look like Eve, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Brethren, how can we hope to have a grasp on God's true characteristics and traits and mannerism? The Bible tells us that man does not naturally comprehend God or His ways. We can't see God with the eyes. We can't hear God with the ears. We do know of the physical world through our five senses, touch, sight, hearing, etc. But how do we learn about the spiritual realm of God? We see that through the Holy Spirit, the profound and mysterious things of God are revealed to Christians who have God's Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is the life of God. It's the mind of God, the love of God, the power of God. It's the life of God the Father in Jesus Christ. That's His Spirit. That's who and what God is. The Holy Spirit is what a Christian has been baptized into. We're baptized into the Spirit of God. We had the spirit of man, but when we were baptized, we went underwater, burying the old man of sin. We're raised with Jesus Christ. But when we have hands laying on us, we receive God's Spirit, God's life. Just as assuredly as we received life from our Father when He came to our mother, we receive God's life when we are baptized. Besides our human life that we receive from our earthly father and mother, we have been conceived with the spiritual life of God the Father and Jesus Christ because they share one and the same Spirit. Being born into the kingdom of God with eternal spiritual God life, that'll come later at the resurrection. That's full spiritual life, born into the family of God. If we endure to the end, Matthew 24 and verse 13. God's Spirit is every divine attribute and means of God. It's the very essence of who and what God is. God's Spirit is the motivating action of God at work. In the same way that breath is necessary for human life, God's Spirit in us is essential for our future eternal life. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. Who has known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Yeah, we're starting to think like Jesus Christ. If Christ is indeed in us through His Spirit, which it is for those who are faithfully converted, it is God's Spirit that transforms a Christian into the life and realm of God, making him a partaker of God's divine nature. We are now the children of God. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. Men and women begin to make the transition from their physical existence to growing in spirit toward the perfection of Christ when they receive the very first token of God's Spirit at their baptism with the laying on of hands. We read in Ephesians 1 and verse 13, "You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory." Yes, it's a long process, and it'll be a while before we are born into the kingdom of God at the first resurrection, at the last trump, which, by the way, takes place today on Pentecost, and we're raised incorruptible. And then there'll be the wedding supper with the Lord. Big things happen today. Being begotten, fathered by God, makes us His children with His Spirit. He gives us of His God-life likeness, like our daddy gave us physical life. That is the earnest and the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. God does not die. Why do we need God's Holy Spirit? It's because without it, we lack the strength, we lack the ability, we lack the capacity to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. We can't do it. We have to have God's Holy Spirit to even begin to walk in Christ's steps. God's able to bring every single one of His godly traits and attributes to His saints. God can teach us all of them. Joy, kindness, mercy. We'll go through some of them in a little while. The measure of God's Spirit given to us is determined only by our willingness to seek God and follow in His ways. If we're going to live according to the way of the world, God's not going to give us of His Spirit. He'll take it away from us. David even had to pray, "Oh God, take not Your Holy Spirit from me, I pray," in Psalm 51. He strayed. He turned from God. He was no longer close to God. But if we walk in God's ways, He will give us increasingly of His Spirit. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. "You will seek me," God says, "and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Yes, and that talks about walking in the statutes and the judgments and the commandments of God. And brethren, with God's Holy Spirit, that's now possible. Luke chapter 11. Let's turn over there. Jesus talks about God's Holy Spirit being a gift that God gives us. We don't work for it and earn it. We receive it as a gift of God. Jesus said in Luke 11 in verse 13, speaking to us as human beings, if you then, being evil, okay, brethren, don't take exception with that because we are in the flesh. We're sold under sin. This is carnal flesh that we are in. There are none good, no, not one, only God the Father. So Jesus says in verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Yes, every one of us does the best we can for our children. We teach them about God. We teach them about His Sabbath. We teach them about His laws. Things like that to begin with. And we try to teach them the love of God. We give good gifts to our children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Okay, we saw a while ago, James said, ask for wisdom. Okay, now we ask for God's Holy Spirit. O Father, give me of your Spirit. What must I do? I'll walk in your traits. I'll develop your traits. I won't just simply say, oh, it's love, and I love ice cream, so I must love God, and I must love my fellow man, too. We have to read the Bible through and see how God loved us. Look at how Jesus loved us. He laid down His life that we might live. So we read at the end of verse 13, how much more shall your heavenly Father give Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And again, brethren, the Holy Spirit of God is His mind and His love and His light. Those are the things that God is willing to give to us. This day represents the coming of God's Spirit on His people. God's Spirit is His unlimited power, His personality, His manifold traits, His character. God's Spirit is every characteristic of God. His righteousness, gentleness, peace, compassion, excellence, generosity, mercy. Again, the list is endless. We know a few of them. Brethren, let's understand, and I believe we do. We are totally unable to comprehend every characteristic of God's Spirit with our human intellect. Why? Because God is far too great. Let's scrutinize a number of godly traits and characteristics so that we can know how to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that we can know how to increase and increase. What are some of those things? We're talking about the things of God. Let's pick compassion, for example. I've touched on that a little bit. We all possess some compassion, maybe a little compassion. We all feel a measure of compassion for those who are hurting, those who are victims, so forth. But we must realize that our compassion comes nowhere as close to the compassion of God. But it should be going in that direction. God has compassion on us. God loved us when we were yet sinners, knowing of our potential. Psalm 86 and verse 15 reads, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. That's even hard for us to comprehend how compassionate, and merciful, and truthful God really is. But we're not supposed to remain the way we were when we were first called. God does not expect us to stay the same as when we were first called. Our lives are all about expanding every trait and attribute and quality of God's nature to its utmost. We won't become like God. We won't have the power of God or the brilliance of God, but we go in that direction. It does not suffice us to say, oh, I just read a nice list of these traits of God. Isn't that wonderful? We should take each one of them. And as we read a while ago, as far as east is from west, develop it. If I'm a little bit compassionate over people that are hurting, how much more compassion does God have? Look for examples of His compassion and try to be that way. Go way out when it's not even convenient to help someone who is hurting, who is desperate, who's in need. Open your house. Open your wallet. Open your heart. Develop your compassion. God will give you of His Spirit so that compassion will grow in you. We don't do it on our own strength at all. Yes, God gives us a kickstart, but we go from there and His Holy Spirit adds to us and we increase in these qualities of God. One of the revealed things that God has given us is the plan of God. It's shown by God's annual Sabbath. It's shown by the holy days in the time frame in which we live, in our own era. One of the greater things, one of the greater gifts God has given His church brethren is the knowledge of His plan. What He's doing, what He's been doing, what He's doing now, what He's going to do in the future. Of redemption, the plan of God is represented by the knowledge of His holy days. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 4. God is loving. We touched on that one. Do we love like God? Not nearly. We have to grow in love. We'll touch on some of these a little bit. God's powerful. Yes, He's all powerful. Are we ready to use that kind of might? I don't think we're there yet. God's creation is a reflection of His power and might. We read in Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." Let's ask ourselves this question. Are we making an attempt to utilize the power of God's Spirit to become like Him and His Son? We're told in Philippians 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." One of the attributes of God is His life. God's alive. God's infinitely alive. God tells us to choose life, to choose God life. That takes a lot of studying and understanding. We must allow the truth about God and His marvelous nature to transform us, to change us, to help us grow in the Spirit. These are some of the things of God. His mind is perfection. Brethren, let's go on to perfection. Let's not allow ourselves to go off a little bit now and then. That's ungodly. God has revealed His attributes to us so that we can know Him as He is. God not only wants us to view Him correctly, He wants us to know Him intimately. And He gives us the wherewithal to do that. God is joyful. Do we try to be joyful all the time? Do we know how much joy God possesses? Do we try to embrace that godly joy, brethren? Or do we prefer to wallow in our misery? Oh, woe is me. It's so bad. Let's understand the joy of God. Think on those things that are honest and pure, joyful. God has so many attributes that we must emulate to the fullest. We can't even begin to touch on them. There are so many. Peace. The peace of God. You could write a book on the peace of God and how far His peace extends. What about the patience of God? I can just look at the way God has dealt with me and start to get a little grasp of God's patience. Our perception of who God is important because we are to be growing in His image, to become like God. Think of the kindness of God, the goodness of God, the generosity of God. Oh, we're generous. We're kind, aren't we? We're good. Not compared to God, we're not. We have a long way to go. God's disposition to bear injuries patiently or long-suffering. We injure God when we break His laws. He suffers when we are not keeping the commandments. We know that when we look at our own children and they're not obedient to God or to us. There's pain involved. God's disposition is perfect. He understands. He knows where we're headed. What about God's gentleness, His mildness, His understanding? God is holy. That means God is set apart. So far apart from us, He is beyond our imagination and beyond our reach. And yet, we are to rise to that occasion. We're to rise up to Him. We're to be holy as He is holy. God says that, "Be holy as I'm holy." He knows we won't get there in the flesh, but we try and we try and we work at it like a muscle builder works with the weights and builds and builds and builds until finally he has muscles. We do it, brethren. We work and we work at it until we finally achieve a little bit of holiness. We're a little bit different from the world, perhaps. We have a long way to go to be holy as God is. So we find that the more accurate our understanding of who and what God really is, the more highly motivated we can be to become like Him, to excel in Him, in all of His spiritual qualities, His fortitude, His counsel, His knowledge, His enlightenment, His mercy, His righteousness. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 12. God is resilient. He has strength and courage. I crumble at the first sign of trouble. God has forgiveness. One thing we know of, brethren, and we can count on, God will never betray our confidence in Him. He is faithful. He has perfect wisdom. He has perfect understanding. We read in 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 4. Here's some more things of God. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit everybody. So when God gives us gifts of His Spirit, it's not to pump us up, not to set us on a pedestal. It's to put everybody else on a pedestal, to help everyone, to serve everyone, to be a servant of all. Jesus Christ gave us that example in John 13. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit, by God's Holy Spirit, pictured by Pentecost today, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. God is faithful. We can depend on God always. Are we that faithful? We need to grow in faithfulness. Some are given that gift of faith. We're told that in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. To another the gift of faith by the same Spirit. To another the gift of healing by the same Spirit. So, brethren, we find that God is completely trustworthy. Are we? Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. I want to nail down this concept that we don't just stay as we are when we are called by God. We need to be ever increasing. And we find this example of God telling us about our faith. Oh, we had some faith when we went to Sabbath service the very first time. We had some faith when we went down into a watery grave. But we need to be growing in faith, to ever increasing faith. We read in Romans 1 and verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Okay, we keep talking about these things revealed by God's Holy Spirit. So we find that the righteousness of God is revealed. From faith to ever increasing faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. But we keep growing and growing and going on to perfection. In the same way, we began by expanding on the concept of God's love. We see that we must do the same thing with faith. And then, after we've done it with love, and after we've done it with faith, and after we've done it with compassion and the others, we do it with every single one of God's characteristics and qualities. Today pictures that God's Holy Spirit will be there to lead us and to help us and to nourish us to become like God, so that we can become as God is. Let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Those are some of the things of God, but it's not a comprehensive list by any means. Don't even expect to get a comprehensive list. Peter was thinking along this same line that we're speaking on today when he wrote about things, the things of God. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. According as His divine power has given unto us all things, there it is, that pertain unto life and godliness. He's given us all of them, brethren, through the knowledge of Him that has called us into glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. That's the goal, to become like God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. He's saying, keep on growing until your faith becomes virtue. Faith and ever-increasing faith. It becomes virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. Peter is saying, grow and grow and grow through God's Holy Spirit. Brethren, This is a lot of work, a lot of studying, a lot of praying. If we speak out of line, we back up and we start over and we apologize, we beg for forgiveness, and we work on doing it right, and we promise we'll never do it wrong. There's a million things that we're doing wrong. That's not growing in faith. To stop doing them is the beginning of faith. Verse 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, the love of God. Verse 8. For if these things be in you, these characteristics of God, these qualities, these virtues of God, if these things be in you and abound, lots of them, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But he that lacks these things, the attributes and qualities of God, he's blind, he cannot see afar off, he's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Brethren, it's happened to too many of our fellow church attendees. They've gone astray. They've withered on the vine. Verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Let's go over to Colossians 3. God tells us to know about the things of God and to do the things of God. We find another partial, small list of the things of God here. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Put on, that means develop, therefore. Make them grow, be nourished, turn into something. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness. Does that describe you, brethren? Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. You can develop these and see what they really mean. 13. Forbearing one another, putting up with one another, letting it go for one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against anybody, in the same way that Christ forgave you, forgive them the same way. Let it go. Bury it. Nail it to the cross. Verse 14, and above all these things, the things of God, put on godly love, which is the bond of perfectness, the bond of perfection, brethren. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you are called in one body. Be thankful for that. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Watch what you say, watch what you think, watch what you look at, watch where you go, and follow in the steps of Christ. Go where he goes. Say the things that he said. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So the word of Christ tells us of spiritual gifts that enable our capacities that are divinely bestowed upon individuals. Let's go over to Galatians 5. Brethren, an apple tree produces apples. That's the fruit of the apple tree. A peach tree produces the fruit of the peach tree, peaches. God's Spirit produces spiritual fruit. Where is the evidence of spiritual fruit in our lives? I can see an apple. I can see a peach and a banana. Can we see spiritual fruit? Or better yet, can others see spiritual fruit in me? We should each ask ourselves that question. Another question. What fruit of the Spirit have you been producing in more and more abundance? Now, we certainly don't want to be lopped off and thrown in the fire. I make allusions to John 15 where Jesus says, we either bring forth much fruit or we're cast into the fire and burned. Galatians 5, we're still reading about the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. We've touched on a bunch of those. We're to grow in those, meekness and temperance. Let's ask ourselves, brethren, have we made a study of how to produce a bushel of those things in our lives? Do we have a sense of urgency? Let me tell you, brethren, time is getting short. I don't need to tell you that. Those things right there are the things of God. How much of the deep things of God do we appreciate? Are we gaining, developing, growing? In 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 we read, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. The Holy Spirit is the power through which God accomplishes His will. He uses it in a person to widen and deepen their comprehension of spiritual truth. Let's turn over to John chapter 16. Only one more set of scriptures, brethren, and we'll close. Pentecost makes growing in grace and knowledge and the comprehension of spiritual truth possible. John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come, talking about God's Holy Spirit, it will guide you into all truth. That's what we can expect from day to day, brethren. It will guide you into all truth, for the Holy Spirit shall not speak of itself, but whatsoever the Holy Spirit shall hear, you know, the things of God, the way of God, the truth of God, that's what God's Spirit says to us, that shall the Holy Spirit speak, and the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the things to come, the things of God that are coming. Verse 14. The Holy Spirit shall glorify me, for the Holy Spirit shall receive of mine, Jesus' teachings, and shall disclose it unto you, to disclose them unto you. Verse 15. All things that the Father has, we're talking about the doctrines of God, the qualities of God, the traits of God, or mine, says Jesus. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me, and vice versa. Therefore I said that the Holy Spirit shall take of mine and shall release it unto you. Brethren, that means after you have received God's Spirit at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit will bring all of God's teaching clearly into our minds. Those spiritual concepts that Jesus received from the Father will be understood by us. They're able to be understood by us. Yes, it takes some digging and some working and some practice and some developing, but they can be known of us. Spiritual depth cannot be achieved or attained by the will of man. We can't go where you shouldn't go and expect to grow. The work of the Holy Spirit is to open to the converted mind the precious things of God. The things that this world cannot even dream of. They cannot be seen or heard or imagined. How does the Spirit search the deep things of God? Brethren, God has given us freely of His Holy Spirit. In abundance, if we will. Let's take each and every attribute of God and measure ourselves. We read in Isaiah 55 and verse 9. Isaiah 55 and verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Brethren, God is way up there. But God's Holy Spirit helps us to see God in His glory and His wisdom and His power in every one of His perfect attributes. But God's Holy Spirit helps us to grow toward God. When God says His ways are higher than the earth and higher than our ways, God didn't say that to discourage us, but to show us how high to aim. Let's put God's Holy Spirit to work, and let's begin to close the gap.